Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to this week's edition of Wings Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we are going to start, it's probably going to be a two-part series called Who's Responsible, You or God? This series is actually inspired by some emails that I've gotten over the last couple of years and different things that people request that I pray for them. Most of you know that Jerry, my husband, is currently being rehabilitated, or as he puts it, off getting an education at the School of Hard Knocks. He's in prison in Ohio, and for the better or worse part of his life, he has been. He once told me that after the first 10 years in prison, he felt like he had learned everything but his lesson. And after nearly 10 more, he's learned more than his lesson. He's come to know and understand that freedom means responsibility. There was a time many years ago when my husband did not believe in God, but he still prayed, and he asked him to get him out of prison because, as he put it, he had stuff to do. That was before God called him. Now he prays to stay in until he is finished doing what the Lord would have him do. And any of you who follow the Wings of Prophecy Facebook page probably noticed that I posted about Jerry witnessing to a young man that he knew. The cell blocks that they're in, which a block is a division of so many cells, you know, the people who inhabit those cells changes continually as they get moved around and go to different prisons and whatever. So he has the opportunity to witness to different people. Now, the word witness on the inside of prison has a totally different connotation than it does for those of us out here. And I didn't know that until he taught me, because I'm pretty naive. But he was able to witness to this young man about Jesus. And that resulted in Jerry calling me and telling me the story of what happened. And he said, he wants a Bible. I said, let's get him one. So we ordered this young man a Bible with his name on it for him to begin his walk with Christ. And that is because of y'all. Thanks to your very generous donations, we are able to do those things. Very few things bring me greater pleasure than buying a Bible for someone, especially someone just starting to believe, because a good study Bible is just priceless. And whenever I started my walk, I had a just plain Jane, King James, no study notes, no nothing. And I thought that's the way all Bibles were. I didn't know any different. Anyway, freedom is responsibility. But it's within Jerry's responsibility to God that he has already been freed from every prison. This week and next week, the Wings Ministry is going to explore our responsibility to God. I want to share with you that freedom, the freedom that is found in responsibility, in our responsibility to the Lord. And let's start in 1 Corinthians 7:22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not you the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Another version of it says, for he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. As responsible to God. What exactly does that mean? As responsible to God. Each week, I get emails from friends of the ministry, and from time to time, even enemies of God, and I get all kinds of comments and questions and things in these emails. Often, people want me to ask God about or for something for them, to ask him to do or answer something for them. One email I received, which I've actually received many different times from different people, in different ways, was a request to pray that God would make them sin no more. If only that were so simple. It would be simple enough for God to do it. Sure, snap, there you go, you'll sin no more. But that would be like me praying to lose the extra 40 pounds that I carry around in a snap. Nice thought. Yeah, he could do it, but he won't, because it would violate his word. And God will never do something that will violate his own word. That's one of the reasons, just one, that we need to know the word. Sin, and what you do about it, is your responsibility. So, in this series, we want to explore what's our responsibility and what's God's responsibility. Because if we understand these things, and we always want understanding, if we understand this, we know what prayers are going to be in keeping with God's will. If I pray for God to make me sin no more, that's not a prayer in God's will, so he's not going to be able to answer it. He doesn't want me to sin anymore, but he's given me the tools to sin no more. However, the responsibility to use those tools, that's right, falls to me. So, what do we do about it? What is our responsibility? I think we first have to ask, what is responsibility? If I ask you right now to define the word responsible, what would you say? Let's look it up in the dictionary to have a better understanding. You never know. Sometimes the definition will surprise you. Responsible. Liable to give or be required to give account as of one's actions. Involving personal accountability or ability to act without guidance or superior authority. Being a source or cause. Able to make moral or rational decisions. Trustworthy or dependable. Based on or showing good judgment. Having the means to pay debts or fulfill obligations. Did you catch that last one? Having the means to pay debts or fulfill obligations. We more than have the means. And what I mean is the debts have already been paid. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Christ. But now you have to fulfill your obligation. Don't become slaves of men, slaves to this world. Find your freedom in your responsibility and fulfill your obligation as responsible to God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Starting here, we're going to examine 12 obligations of the Christian life. The first one, seek those things above, Colossians 3:1. If you then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Since then you have been raised with Christ, raised, reborn, lifted up, put on high, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. We're going to go ahead and look at numbers 1 and 2 together. Number 2, set your affections on things above. That's Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And your affections, also, it doesn't mean just your affections, it also means your thoughts, your mind. What do you think about all the time? Wherever your thoughts and your time and your money go, that's, like I've always said, that's who your God is. If all the time you're thinking about your job and you spend all your money buying clothes and different stuff for your job and that's all you ever talk about or think about, that's probably your God. You have been raised up with Christ, reborn. Set your hearts and minds on those things above. Think about, what does that mean? Think about the clouds or birds and Airbuses? No. You see, there was a time when you might as well have been walking around in cement shoes for all the flying or raising you could do. You weren't just grounded, you were in the ground, buried in a box and forgotten. But then you were raised with Christ when you gave him your heart. Being reborn, you can't leave your hearts and minds behind down there buried in that box. You have a new life. And with it, you have to have a new way of thinking, a new way of being. Seek those things above. Set your affection on things above. Okay, let's go to number 3. Mortify all sinful members. This is Colossians 3, 5-7. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil I can't pronounce that word, but it, I think it means desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. Okay, I'm going to reread those scriptures in the Holman translation, since I couldn't pronounce that one word, so it will make sense. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedience. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. Mortify all sinful members. Let me tell you a little bit about the life I used to live, the ways that I walked in. I was very sexually immoral. I was about as pure as a muddy river. Evil desires, yeah, I chase sin. But that kind of living is a lot more like dying very slowly. Because on the inside you feel so empty. And you keep thinking that the next, you know, this or the next that or the next sin is going to make you happy, but it never does. It brings you no peace and it brings you no joy. In order to live, I had to kill those desires. I had to die to them completely. There can't be any, oh, I'm going to cut back a little bit. I'm going to sin some, and then I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. No. If you really want the kingdom of God, if you really want the peace, the happiness, and the joy, it's all or none. You have to be done with the old man. You have to be done with that way of life. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Mortify all sinful members. Put off the old man. The old man is the old you that used to live for sin. It's the old you that used to party or chase sexual immorality or whatever your old life was. That's the old you. That's the old man for you. It's your fleshly nature. It's the desires of your flesh, your body. Your spirit is very strong once you're saved, but it is your flesh that's weak, and you have to discipline your flesh. That is not God's responsibility. Can I tell you that? That's why the Bible says mortify those members, because it's our job to mortify them. Mortify means to kill them. Colossians 3:8-9. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I want to stop there for just a second and talk about filthy language. When you hear the words filthy language, what comes to mind? Is it the horrible F word? What F word were you thinking? Fudge? Well, that word isn't so horrible. I want some fudge. But how about in anger you cry out, oh, fudge? See, it's not so much the word as it is the meaning and emotion behind the word that crosses your lips that makes it filthy. Just like a person can be filthy in stark white clean clothes. So, you know, some people say, gosh darn. You hear a lot of people say that, and they think it's innocent. It's not the Lord's name, and they aren't using it in vain, so it's safe, right? Wrong. Gosh is literally defined as an alteration of the name of God. So, that's back to the old man. And I've used the word gosh innocently, not knowing that it meant that. So, yeah. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man is, very simply put, the body of sin that used to be your life. Romans 6:6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You've mortified all sinful members. Now bury them. Bury that body of sin. Put off the old man. Number 5, put on the new man. This is Colossians 3:10-12. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Clothe yourselves. Put on. Prisoners, be it the black and white stripes, bright orange, or the old pale blue, are clothed in uniforms that make them easily identifiable. You see a prisoner and you immediately know they are a prisoner by what they're wearing. When you clothe yourself or you put on the new man, you clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's by that, by your clothes, that you become easily identified as God's chosen people, as His chosen, His child. God becomes your new identity. But Christ is all and in all. Put on those clothes and claim your identity. Put on the new man. Number 6, forbear with each other. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Let's take a look at that word, forbear. To hold back, refrain, to be tolerant or patient in the face of provocation. Forbear. You know, there's a better definition of that word, and we can find it in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's more than an obligation. It is probably our greatest responsibility to love. Forbear with each other. So let's go back over these first 6. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. That's number 1. Number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Number 3, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, that word I can't say, that means desired, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now put on the new man, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And the last one, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And you know, you can call somebody up, even if it's them that has something against you. You can call them up. Remember the scripture that talks about if you take your gift to the altar and if you remember your brother has aught against you. You can call someone up and just, you know, make your attempt to have a good conversation with them and help them to be able to forgive you if that's what needs to happen. We don't want to be in unforgiveness, but we also don't want anyone else to be in unforgiveness because we know where that sends them. I want to share with you now, this is April 2nd as I record this, and this morning the Lord gave me such an encouraging word to share with you. It's called Know This. I want to read it now for those who don't have access to the internet. Know this, whatever road you are traveling, whatever hardship you are facing, whatever pain is in your soul, I care. You are my precious child, and I love you endlessly. I love you when you are behaving well. I love you when you are not behaving so well. I love you. I am with you, even when you cannot see me, when you do not hear me, when you cannot feel my presence, I am still there with you. Every minute, day or night, I am watching over you. There is nothing you think, say, or do that I am not aware of. When you long for more of me, bow down and pour out your heart to me, child. Seek me in my word. I am always found there. And I am with you as you read of me there. The enemy tries to make you think, I don't see or care about your life and your pain, but that is a lie. I have always cared. I will always care. Sometimes I cannot answer your request of me immediately for reasons you know not, but it is never because I do not care. Know that the second a prayer is lifted up to me, I set about sending the answer. Believe. When the Lord spoke to me the last part of that, the first thing I thought of was that scripture in Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. That's what the angel Gabriel told Daniel when he appeared in answer to Daniel's prayer. So if you've been praying a long time for something, I encourage you to continue praying and know that God has already set about to answer your prayer. I have seen this so many times when God's answer to my prayer would appear and he would show me how he had been working on it all those years. It had been, you know, in the works, but the answer just hadn't come forth to maturity yet. Father, I lift every listener within the sound of my voice up to you in prayer. I decree, Father, that you would show us in our spirits and in our minds and in our thoughts where your responsibility ends and ours begins. That you would show us clearly, Lord, where the dividing line is. Help us to get in our spirit, Lord, what is our responsibility as responsible to God, how we are responsible to you. You have done for us, Lord, something we could never do for ourselves in sending Jesus, and Jesus has done in dying for us what we could never do. He died to pay a debt he didn't owe, because we could never pay the debt that we do owe. And we are so thankful, Lord God, for him. We are so thankful to you, Jesus, and we praise you and we worship you right now. I decree in every person's spirit that's listening a great desire to do what is right, to walk in complete integrity, and to do what we are supposed to do as responsible to you, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving us the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to do these things. We thank you for so many blessings, Lord. So many blessings that we can't even count them all. Bless the people, Lord God. Bless them. Bless their finances. Bless their families, Lord God. Bless their relationships in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord is showing me that there is someone listening to this program that you have almost completely given up hope that God is going to answer your prayer. And he says to tell you that he hears every prayer that you pray, and he said there are many prayers, that he listens to every one, that you are in his heart continually, that he has an answer coming, but it is a very complex answer. It is very complicated. And so it wasn't like an immediate thing. It's taken time to get it worked out. It apparently involves a number of other people. But he says to you, take heart, my child, for I will answer if you will only believe. I hope that is an encouragement to you. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that this show has been a blessing to you. And I hope that you have a really awesome, blessed week. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization. Thank you.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Are you one of many single Christians believing for a godly mate? God is able, so why hasn't He sent them to you? Unknowingly, you may be working against God. He brought Glenda the perfect mate after 16 long, lonely years of believing. In the ebook, Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate, Glenda shares the keys God gave her. Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate by Jerry and Glenda Linkos, only $2.99 at Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com. Haven't you waited long enough? Get Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate. Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com.
There's a new book revealing a mysterious 2,500-year-old prophecy. Its title, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Only now, after all of those years, do His words make sense. They're only directed to this generation, those living in its fulfillment. You will learn what egregious act America continually committed despite 21 years of repeated warnings our leaders ignored, when the judgment will likely happen, and why God has the whole world watching. The horrific events to follow and the secret place of protection for some. Finally, the selected remnant that go into Jesus' millennium kingdom are identified. It's all in America, Isaiah's Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Find out more and order it now at americasjudgment.com. That's americasjudgment.com. America's Judgment is one word. Type americasjudgment.com into your favorite internet browser.
Have occasional strong urges to do the wrong thing? Things that mess up an otherwise Christian lifestyle? Is the sin nature rearing up, or could it be something else? Spiritual soul tunnels are well-disguised avenues to reach a person who has turned from a formerly unhealthy relationship. If this sounds like it could describe you, you need Glenda Linkos' new ebook, Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind, for $3.99 at Amazon and wingsofprophecy.com. That's Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind